This morning, we are continuing our study on the Apostles' Creed, and this week we're looking at part two, which says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Understanding who someone is really important and should be important to us. Sometimes our view on who someone is and what they do can be obscured by what we hear or what we see, rather than exploring for ourselves who someone really is. For those of you who don't know, my uncle also lives out in Bolivia. He lives in the city of Santa Cruz and runs an eye charity. Every year he does free eye medical campaigns in the region around Trinidad, where I live, so in the small towns and the small villages just outside of the city. The surgeons and doctors that are part of this team are all from England and don't speak Spanish, so I go along to help with the translation. During the 2 weeks of the medical campaign, there are more or less 1,000 people that pass through the medical clinic. And every person that passes through the doors, I have to do the translation for. So they enter, I then ask them what their problem is in Spanish, I then tell the doctor what their problem was in English, I then wait for the doctor to give their diagnosis in English and repeat that back to the patient in Spanish. So it's a very long 2 weeks. I do that roughly 1,000 times each time that my uncle does a medical trip. But after around about 100 people, I'm fairly confident in what it is that I need to say. The doctor will say, oh, he's got a cataract. And I'm like, oh, I know what a cataract is. And I go off and explain. Oh, this person's got a pterygium. Oh, I know what a pterygium is. And I go off and I explain. I become confident in what it is that I'm doing. And as people arrive and as they leave, they go, good morning, doctor. Good afternoon, doctor. Thank you very much, doctor. I'll see you next time, doctor. And I have to explain to them, oh, no, I'm not the doctor. I'm not the doctor. But you see, in that moment, it seems like I am the doctor. I'm the one that is explaining the problem. I'm explaining the surgery. I'm explaining the aftercare treatment plan that they will go through. And so they're watching me and they're listening, and it seems like I'm the doctor. But in reality, I know very little about eyes. I know that I have two. I know that most people have two. I know if you don't have two, then something's probably gone wrong at some point. But I have no idea how to do the surgery. The thought of cutting an eye open makes me feel rather ill on the insides. I stayed and watched one surgery, and I did not want to stay and watch anymore after that. So if people were to come to me in an emergency and said, doctor, please help me with my eye, it would be a disaster. So it's fair to say that the phrase Simon is a doctor is not true, nor is it a reliable statement to make. It's important then, when we say or hear the Apostles' Creed, that we understand the claim that we are hearing and saying. Because there will be some people in this world who will tell you that Jesus never existed. Or there will be others who will tell you, oh, he was a religious teacher, a good man, but nothing more. So it's fundamental for us as Christians to know who Jesus was and is, both theologically in our minds, but also personally in our hearts. So that's the plan this morning. We will be exploring what it means that Jesus is the Son of God, our Lord and Savior. And to help us do this, we'll be using Philippians 2, verses 5 to 1. That's Philippians 2, verses 5 to 1. So let's read this passage together. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God, the Father. Amen. In verse 5, Paul starts, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Paul has to address some behavioral concerns that he has regarding internal relationships in the church community. So to address these problems, Paul retells Christ's story because he wants the church community to take on a Christ-like mindset, which is exemplified by Christ through both his incarnation and crucifixion. So Paul takes us back to the very start. Verse 6, it says, being in very nature God, or in other words, being already in the form of God. This reminds us that Jesus has been present from the start. Jesus was there since the very beginning. Other passage in 1 Corinthians and Colossians mention this as well, that Jesus was present at creation. It says, in him all things were made. That's Colossians 1:16. This is important to us because it reminds us that Jesus was not an afterthought. He wasn't an off-the-cuff, last-resort saviour. Jesus was there at the start. Jesus has always been God's plan for the salvation and reconciliation of his people. Verse 6 and verse 7 say, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Paul makes it very clear that Jesus did not see his equality with God as something to be used to take advantage of. Rather than holding on to his rightful status and power, he chose to make himself nothing. Jesus was and is fully God. Jesus had every right to come down to earth and walk around with the audacity that you might expect from a God. But rather than using his rightful status to live himself above others, to exploit others, to push others away, instead Jesus chose to humble himself, take on the role of a servant. Jesus lowered himself that he could serve others and hold others up. End of verse 7 into verse 8, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. Some people see these verses and say, oh, in the likeness of a human, that means Jesus wasn't fully human. But that's not what Paul is saying. Jesus was fully God and fully man. To help us understand this, it helps to look at Romans 8 verse 3. Paul writes, for what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus was real flesh, but he wasn't like us in that he was sinful. So when it says he was born in the likeness of a human, it means real human, but not real sinful human. Verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Jesus, being fully man and being found in the form of a man, chose to humble himself to the point of death. Jesus' humility did not stop with him leaving the majesty of heaven and coming to earth. Once on earth, Jesus went a step further and humbled himself to a life of obedience to the Father. And that obedience led him to death for us. The worst, most horrific death one could imagine. Death on a cross. Verses 9 to 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledges that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These words from Paul would have been considered incomprehensible to so many listeners at the time. You see, by Jewish law, anyone who is crucified on the cross died under the curse of God. In fact, the whole concept of crucifixion was seen as something so horrific, so vile, that in upper-class Roman society, even the word cross was never muttered. So when Paul in Galatians 6, verse 14 says, "May I never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ," that was a highly controversial thing to say. Paul was completely turning upside down the society's values and viewpoints and understanding of the cross. And here in Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11, Paul takes it a step further. He's explaining to the people that it's because of the cross that Christ is exalted to the highest place, that it's because of the cross one day every knee will bow. It's because of the cross that one day every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So Paul, in these verses, walks us through the life of Jesus. Jesus, fully God, who was there from the beginning, leaves the majesty of heaven to walk among earth as fully man. Despite his divine right and riches, Jesus humbled himself to a life of service and obedience to the Father's will. An obedience that leads him to death on a cross, to die in our place so that we might be reconciled to God. So why does Paul remind the church of this gospel truth? Because he wants them to do the same. Let's read a few verses before the passage that we read today, Philippians 2, verses 3 to 5. It says this: "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." So in these verses 3 to 5, Paul is explaining to the church what the church should be. And so to deepen his point, he echoes and demonstrates to the church what Christ did. When Paul says, "I want you to do nothing out of selfish ambition," he says, "and then look at Jesus, look what he did." When Paul says, "I want you to live in humility," he then goes on and says, "well, look at what Jesus did." When Paul says, "I want you to value others above yourself," he then uses Jesus as the example. So what does that mean for us today? Well, we too are called to have the same mindset as Christ. Now, we could fill a year of Sundays exploring the mindset of Christ, but for today, let's just focus on two points that I think we can take from this passage. And that's to have a mindset of humility and a mindset of servanthood. Firstly then, a mindset of humility. We live in a society that actively encourages you to be bigger, better, stronger, smarter, to live life how you want so that you end up on top. It's a one-up culture, right? I'm sure you've met people in life that no matter what story you tell them, they're always ready to go one better. No matter how many doors you've knocked on, they've always knocked on one more. And no matter how many cups of tea you've served, they've always served one more. It's a one-up culture. That's what we're taught. Be bigger, be better, be stronger than the person next to you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad or wrong to be good at something. In fact, I think excellence is important. I think as Christians, we should strive to work hard and to set the standard for the society around us. When people interact with us at work, they should see that we are hardworking, honest, faithful in what we do, and reliable. We should strive for excellence. The difference is that we use the excellence not to better ourselves above others, but to lower ourselves into a position of service, to value others over ourselves, as Paul would say. Jesus, in all his majesty, perfection, power, riches, had every right to walk around on earth holding himself above anyone and everyone, to use his power and authority for self-gain, but he didn't. Instead, Jesus humbled himself, made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, as the passage from today says. So if Christ, who has equality with God, chose to humble himself, then we, who are sinful and broken people, who can't even hold a candle up to Christ's perfection, should definitely be humbling ourselves. How often do we go into situations thinking, I know best, that if everyone just listened to me, they would be fine, that I can fix anything and everything because of my intelligence or my strength or my power or my finances? And then we become confident in ourselves and stop relying on God. How often do we look at someone and in our subconscious think, I'm better than that person. I do more than them. I work harder than them. I give more than them. But Paul encourages the church, he challenges the church to turn away from this mindset, reminding us that we are nothing without God. We are nothing without Jesus. We're nothing without what Christ did for us on the cross. And so our mindsets need to reflect that, knowing we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we are only here because of what Christ did for us on the cross. So we need to start each and every day from a place of humility. We need to carry with us a mindset of humility, knowing that it's by God's grace that we are here, and nothing more. We also need to have a mindset of servanthood. Today's passage tells us that Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And you don't have to look very far in the Gospels to see examples of Jesus serving others and calling his followers to do the same. So what does it mean for us to have a servant mindset? Well, it starts from a place of humility, right? It's hard to serve others if you're constantly putting others below yourself. So we need to bring ourselves down. We need to humble ourselves. Now, I'm not going to stand here this morning and give you a list of practical outward things that you need to go and do in your community to serve others, because we all have different gifts. We all have different skills. We all get different opportunities. We all have different capabilities when it comes to serving others. And all of them are useful to the kingdom of God. How God calls each of us to serve is different. And it's all valuable to the kingdom of God. But how we choose to serve is to be worked out between us and God in prayer and in quiet devotion. So instead, let's focus on three inward disciplines that I think can help us have a mindset of servanthood. Firstly, then, we need to be open. We need to be open to God in prayers and in our devotional times. We need to be open to asking him to show us where we can best serve his kingdom. Whether that's giving time, whether that's giving resources, whether that's doing something physically, or whether that's speaking to someone. We need to be open to new opportunities to serve God's kingdom. Secondly, we need to be accepting. Once we are open to God, we need to then be willing to accept what God calls us to do. If you pray for God to break your heart, don't be surprised when he breaks your heart. If you pray to God for opportunities to serve, don't be surprised when he gives you opportunities to serve. Instead, be accepting. Be open to trying new things and be accepting to do them. And these opportunities might not be how you planned. Maybe you're hoping to send money, but instead God chooses to send you. Or perhaps you want to be generous with your time, but actually God wants you to be generous with your resources. We need to accept that it's God's kingdom that we're building, not our own. So therefore God calls the shots. God chooses how we serve, and we need to be accepting to how he calls us to serve. Because that's the greatest blessing, Yeah, this is God's kingdom, but he calls us to be part of it. He wants us to be part of it. He wants to partner with us. So we need to be accepting to that. And finally, we need to be active. We are open to God in our prayers and devotional times. We're accepting of what he's called us to do. Then we need to go out and do it. We need to put it into practice. 1 Peter 4 verses 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We need to go out and serve how God has called us to serve, remembering that it's for God's glory that we serve others and not for our own self-gain. That it's God's glory we seek, that it's God's kingdom we're building, not our own. So every time we hear the Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We can remember that Jesus, who was there from the very beginning, who is fully God and fully man, demonstrated to us what it means to humble ourselves, to empty ourselves of everything, to take on the role of a servant, to live a life of obedience to the Father to the point of death, to save us from our sins so that we can be reconciled to God. And now Jesus has been exalted to the highest place, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. And in response to that, we are called to follow Christ's example and be people who are humble and put others above ourselves. And we are called to be people who are open and accepting and active in serving the Father, all for his glory and all for his kingdom.